Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth begin in my heart and be a light along life's path for these, your people. Amen. I heard recently about a man in Minnesota who clearly needs to choose another profession. He had committed a string of robberies, and fortunately for him, he was eventually caught. I say fortunately because during his crime spree, he received the nickname the Rolaids Robber. The reason he had received that nickname was that while he was robbing their store, he repeatedly asked the store clerks for the antacid tablets. Apparently, he needed the antacid tablets because of the stress that came with committing the robberies. Maybe now he could relax. He's serving a sentence of 8 to 10 years. Different people have different ways of dealing with stress. I also read a news story recently about a man in Germany who was arrested for screaming. Residents in the town of Aachen, Germany, called the police complaining about a series of loud yells coming from a local forest. They found in the forest a 25-year-old man who explained that walking in the forest at night and screaming as loudly as he could was his way of dealing with his stress. The man's screams was frightening people, and so that's why they called the police. He now faces a fine of 75 euros. That stressed him out even more. But a police spokesman said that the officers told him not to deal with it by screaming in the forest. Have you ever felt absolutely overwhelmed? Have you ever felt like walking away from your desk or your computer screen and just screaming about your work responsibilities or your financial responsibilities or your family responsibilities? It's been estimated that 90% of all doctor visits can be attributed directly or indirectly to stress, to the feeling of being overwhelmed. When you think about the stress that many of us are carrying, that alone can be a little troubling. Just one more thing for you to stress about. Here is what researchers have found. Stress not only keeps us awake at night, it also suppresses the body's immune system, which makes us vulnerable to all manner of illness. We get sick, which may cause a host of other problems related to missing work and the inability to fulfill our other responsibilities. And that just leads to more stress. It's a downward cycle that rarely has a happy ending. What do you do when you're feeling overwhelmed? Well, I want to suggest a simple formula that I've taken from our lesson this morning in the Gospel of John. As I pointed out before I read the scripture, and I shared it with the kids during Time for Children, it's a story that's been told throughout the years. It's well known to us. It's even told several times in the Gospels with varying details. Here we go again. Jesus is on a mountainside with his disciples. When he looks up and sees a great crowd coming toward him, he says to Philip, "Where shall we buy the bread for these people to eat?" Now here is a situation that any normal person would be overwhelmed by. It's almost time for dinner, and suddenly you discover you have 5,000 uninvited guests. Jesus asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" They obviously don't have a 7-Eleven that he can run to. In fact, it would take a chain of supermarkets to feed this number of people. John says that Jesus asked how they were going to be fed only to test Philip. For Jesus already had a plan in mind. Philip, on the other hand, has no plan. He has no idea how to feed this mob. He says to Jesus, 8 months of wages wouldn't buy enough bread for each one to even have a bite. Things look pretty dismal. There's no way they can feed all of these people. At least that's how it appears. Then Andrew, another disciple, speaks up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Then Jesus says something that's interesting. "Have the people sit down." And that's what they did. They had the people sit down. Jesus then took the loaves and gave thanks and distributed those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. When all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Leave nothing to be wasted." So they gathered everything that was left over and filled, we're told, 12 baskets with the leftovers. That's the story. So how do you deal with overwhelming situations? Well, let me suggest for just a few simple steps from this story. First of all, sit down. I can just see Philip running around frantically. What do we do? What do we do? Jesus knew that panic never solved any problem. "Have the people sit down," he said. A lecturer on stress management raised a glass of water and asked his audience, "How heavy is this glass of water?" Well, there were various answers called out. Then the lecturer replied, "The weight really doesn't matter. What matters is how long you try to hold it. If I hold it for a minute, that's not really a problem. If I hold it for an hour, I'm going to have an ache in my right arm. If I have to hold it for a day, you're probably going to have to call an ambulance for me. In each case, it's the same weight. But the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes." And that's the way it is with stress, the lecturer said. If we carry our burdens all the time, sooner or later, as the burden becomes increasingly heavy, we won't be able to carry it along. You have to put it down for a while. You have to rest and then hold it again. When we're refreshed, we can carry on with the burden. So before you return home tonight, the lecturer continued, put the burden of work down. Don't carry it home. You can pick it up tomorrow. Whatever burdens you're carrying now, let them down for a moment if you can. Relax. Pick them up later, after you've rested. Life is short. Enjoy it. That, I think, is the great thing about worship. It's time when we can sit still and reflect and listen to the voice of God. Jesus knew it was important to settle the crowd down. So he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down." You see, the problem with feeling overwhelmed is that we keep seeing our problems coming at us from every direction. So it keeps us from solving the problem right there in front of us. If we're expending energy worrying about the things that lie out ahead of us, we cannot effectively focus on the task at hand. No wonder Jesus said on another occasion, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for us on its own." Have the people sit down, Jesus said. And that's where we begin. Sit down. Calm down. Focus on what's immediately before you. Here's the second thing that we can acknowledge from this story. God has a plan. I like the way a church sign read, "If your knees are knocking, kneel on them." John says that Jesus asked Philip how they were going to feed all the people to test him. For Jesus already had a plan in mind. He knew what he was going to do. God has a plan. Do you believe that God has the ability to meet your needs? Then relax. God will provide. There's a power in trusting God. The same God who multiplied the fishes and the loaves that day long ago can give you the resources you need to meet your obligations. Sometimes we have to go through some painful situations before we discern what God's hand in our life is doing. We can often see God's hand only in the rearview mirror. But God is always there. God is always available. God's will is for our best good. An anonymous poet reflected on the name that God used when speaking to Moses. You remember that scene? Moses asked God to tell him his name, and God replied, "I am who I am." "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." This unknown poet took those words and wrote the following. "My name is I am. If you live in the past, it will be very hard, for I am not there. My name is not I was. And if you live in the future, it will be very hard, for my name is not I will be. But if you live in the present, it is not hard, for my name is I am. The great I am is with us. Relax. God has a plan." Here's the third step that I think we need to take from this story. We need to make a beginning. Andrew came forward to say that there was a boy present with some fish and some loaves. It wasn't much, but it was a beginning. That would give them something to start with. What are your fishes? What are your loaves? Even Christ had to start somewhere. What are the resources that you already have right here, right now, with you today that can make your situation better? Take an inventory. Get started with what you have right now. There are many people who suffer from paralysis by analysis, who worry so much about a problem, they never really confront the problem. Sometimes they can be very religious about this. Well, I'm going to pray about this, and when God gives me a sign, then I'll get started. I'll do something about it then. Friends, this message is your sign. Make a beginning. Worried about losing your job? What are you doing today to prepare yourself for the next one? Who knows? If you get started today researching the possibilities, you might find even a better job before you lose the one you have. Worried about your finances? Have you gotten around to making that budget that financial planner suggested you make? There are many people that today discovering they can live on far less than they really need. The point is, get started tackling whatever task is at hand. Whatever the issue, make a beginning. Oh, I know that this sounds easier said than done, but greater things come from small beginnings. As someone once said, winning starts with beginning. An old fable tells of a young bear cub that was puzzled as to how to walk. He asked the old she-bear, "Shall I move my right paw first, or my left, or my two front paws together, or the hind ones, or should I move all four at once? How?" In reply, the old she-bear growled, "Leave off thinking and walk." Sometimes that is what God says to us. Quit analyzing the problem to death and get moving. Sit down. Acknowledge that God has a plan and make a beginning. And finally, our story teaches us, gather up the leftovers for next time. Chances are you're going to make it through whatever your problem is that's overwhelming you right now. The question is, what will you take from the experience? Christ instructed his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. Why did he do that? I'm sure at least one of them was grumbling, why save all the leftovers? Can't he just do the same miracle tomorrow? Well, that's not the point. Leftovers are important. Whenever you go through a difficult experience, you should learn something about the world, the way the world operates. And you should grow stronger in your ability to handle life's difficulties. Each experience in life should make us a better person. That happens when we gather up the leftovers. One thing we're sure to discover is that we were right to trust God. That's a good thing, to learn to prepare ourselves for another time of testing. On April 10th, 1963, the nuclear submarine Thresher went too deep into the ocean and was crushed by the surrounding water. It imploded into such tiny bits that almost nothing could be later identified. You see, a sub needs thick steel bulkheads to withstand the pressure of the water as it dies. But there are few walls that can withstand the pressure of the deepest ocean. Even steel gives way, as the crew of the Thresher tragically discovered. And yet, isn't it fascinating that in those same deep waters where the steel submarine had been crushed, little fish swim without a care in the world? What is their secret? Why aren't they crushed? And are they made of some indestructible iron? Nope. They possess only the thinnest layer of skin. The little fish, it seems, have an internal pressure that perfectly corresponds to the pressure from the outside. God gave them what they needed to swim in the deep places. And God will give us what we need to swim in our deep places. What we do when we are overwhelmed? What can we do? What shall we do? We should learn from this beautiful story of Jesus feeding 5,000. Sit down. Acknowledge that God has a plan. make a beginning. And after you come through the experience, pick up the leftovers. Use the experience to prepare yourself for the next time that you are challenged. You are not alone. The same God who multiplied the fish and the loaves is with you. Remind yourself that you are in the presence of the great I Am. Amen.